This is the Sit Down with Olwethu Lishabane, a podcast for women everywhere who are exploring the art of superwoman.
Welcome to the Sit Down with Olwethu Lishabane. Today we're talking the Sit Down Careers with Fiona Martin. We're talking about the art of networking. The world of work is consistently changing. How things were done decades ago is completely different from how we're doing things today. And with the fourth industrial revolution looming, although I think it's here, it's important that we always open ourselves up to learning new ways of doing things. And one of the most crucial skills we need in our careers and in our businesses is networking. While most people agree with the cliche, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Whether we like it or not, it carries a lot of weight. Industrial and career coach Fiona Martin joins us on this week's edition of the Sit Down Careers to share tips on mastering networking and ways you can develop a plan to find and nurture relationships that you need to secure the opportunities you've always wanted. Fiona Martin is an industrial psychologist, career coach, talent management professional, and thought leadership enthusiast. She has worked with graduates across Africa, developing programs that facilitated workplace transitions. Her corporate and consulting work experience has included developing leadership programs and spearheading talent management initiatives. Fiona provides regular expert opinions on career development through various media platforms, including her own career website, features on radio, Power FM, Talk Radio Signal 2, Capricorn FM, Kaya FM, television, and has given expert commentary for a number of publications, True Love Magazine, Move, CHRO, Drum Magazine, One Life Insurance Blog, Fast Company, to name a few. But most of all, Fiona is passionate about helping people transition to gainful employment. Fiona, thank you so much for joining us on the Sit Down Careers.
This is the Sit Down with Olwethu Lishabane, a podcast for women everywhere who are exploring the art of superwoman.
So gone are the days of studying towards a qualification and then being almost guaranteed to get a job by merely just applying, right? So how crucial is networking for different states of the way the world of work works? So straight out of varsity to entry level into the workplace to then advancing for better opportunities and then branching off and starting your own business and then growing your professional network. How important is networking in these different stages?
Olwe, I think you actually raise a good point by depicting for us all the various situations that an individual could or should be networking, right? So networking, in essence, is not something that you only do when you're looking for a job or you've just opened a business or you're trying to sell something, get a new client, right? Mm-hmm. It is an ongoing process. And the reason is, if we look at a very, baseline definition of what networking is, it really is about building mutually beneficial relationships, right? For the sake of career or business purposes. So anything that requires building a relationship takes time, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have a hit and run approach where, you only start networking because you find yourself out of a job or you've just about to open a new business, you might not have enough depth in terms of your networking relationships to be able to get results, right? Very seldom, people get discouraged like, well, I went to this event, I got 100 business cards and, nothing is yielding from it. It is because you have to cultivate those relationships and it's very seldom that they yield instantaneous results, right? So it is something you have to build over time. You have to build the trust, you have to build the relationship, particularly where you want to make, relatively big asks, so to speak. And I think generally, if you look at the people that you help and the people that you reach out to, and of course, the amount of effort that you put where someone has asked you for resources, maybe they've asked you for information. I'm not saying that people don't help strangers, but very often you might find someone approaches you on LinkedIn or on social media and says, hey, I see you're friends with the CEO, please introduce me or please send him my business proposal, right? Which is kind of a little bit weird because you're like, I don't know who you are, and now I'm supposed to approach this person, use my relationship to vouch for you when I'm not even sure in terms of, are you someone I want to put forward in front of my relationship? So I think for me, the depth of relationship is important. And of course, I know we are encouraged to always be networking, you know, and shooting your shot on LinkedIn, on Twitter, and whatever the case. And, you know, I think there's a time and place for everything. But for me, what I have found to really, really get good results is relationships that are built and cultivated over time.
Mm. I mean, the art of good networking is also about creating that good first impression. Can you take us through the psychology of that first impressions? Do they matter? I mean, we know of the old boys clubs. Good impressions first time don't really matter to them. Is it different in terms of a female to a male, the appearance, the body language, how you communicate? Does it really, really, really matter?
Yes, I would say, you know, yes. I mean, I think first impressions, you know, is something that we definitely can't discount. And in fact, and researchers have found that people will make judgments around your trustworthiness, your competence, how likable you are, if you're someone they want to have in their network, really based on first impressions. And if you look at networking, or, you know, where you meet someone for the first time in an elevator at events, you know, they make reference to elevator speeches, is because very seldom we don't have a lot of time, you know, to connect with people. So I meet that CEO at an event. Mm-hmm. I meet that affluent business person that, you know, maybe I want to make a pitch to. So unless you know, you're afforded an hour of their time, which is very rare, many of the times those first impressions where you quickly are able to ambush them at an event, in an elevator, you see them in a cafeteria, whatever the case might be, matter, right? Because it also determines, you know, are they going to be responsive, you know, when you then, you know, reach out for a follow-up conversation, reach out to set up a meeting. And I think what you said about the boys club, right? You know, generally and scientifically, this has also been shown, people like themselves. You know, that's something that is innate in all of us. So if you were to walk into any room of strangers, you know, people that you don't know from a bar of soap, and there's a group of white men, there's a group of Indian females, there's a group of black females, there is a group of, you know, whatever the case might be, the natural affinity for people is to levitate towards people like themselves, you know, and then I think all of us do it, right? So when you walk in a room, you're probably going to bolt and go and talk and speak to people that, you know, you are like you, because of that comfort level that we feel like, okay, same background, you know, same race, I feel like, you know, I can probably relate to them. And I think that's the basis of, you know, how network relationships are formed. So you often find people that are in a boys club or some clique, they have a lot of similarities, right? And in fact, scientifically, it has also been shown that the more similarities you have with people, the more bonds are forged, right? You know, with that person. So even when you randomly meet, let's say you were to meet 10 people at an event, you often find the people where you actually have follow-through relationships is people where you have a lot in common. And think about your friends and people who are in your network right now. If you look at socioeconomic status, race, you know, culture, you know, you'll find you actually have a lot that is similar to them. So what then happens with networking, right? And particularly, let's look at where females are concerned. You know, you're not going to have a natural affinity or, you know, in many times form natural bonds with the person that is different from you. And similarly, when you find men, they are more likely to mentor other men, right? You know, like a white male, you know, a black male, whatever the case might be. It's because of that natural, I guess, bonds that they form. So as a result, when you have to network with someone that is different from you, you know, particularly where you don't have an immediate connection, it requires effort, it requires time. So that's why you find that even when you're the only black person in the workplace, the only person of a particular culture, of a particular race, a particular gender, you know, nationality, whatever the case might be, you very often feel like an outcast because you don't have, you know, so socially a lot in common as they would, you know, coming from the same place. So I think that's one thing to take into consideration. But more importantly, it absolutely does not mean that you cannot network with people that are different from you. But I think having that awareness to say, actually, why is it that I feel a little bit left out? You actually will mostly find that these people connect on many other factors, you know, that are not even related to the workplace. And I know that one aspect as well, you know, that we definitely can't ignore around networking, particularly for females. The reality is that most key decision-making roles in corporate and business are held by men, right? You know, and look at the stats anyway. So ultimately, as a female, right, if I'm naturally not going to be invited into the old boys club, I still need to make sure that, you know, I'm able to reach and, you know, connect with those, you know, influencers, so to speak, or those key decision makers. And how do I do that? And, you know, what a conversation that comes up a lot and that I know many men find it quite surprising is that females will say to you, fine, you know, you can network, you can get a mentor who's a male, etc. But there's always an apprehension or almost a conservativeness. You know, I've heard females, you know, and I can also relate, say that, look, and I feel like if this person gets too familiar with me, you know, what if then they start making sexual advances, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's anything that is completely, you know, a wild claim, so to speak, because I think any woman that you would ask in the world of work or in any context would tell you that, you know, at some point or the other, you've been sexually harassed, you know, inappropriateness, yeah, you know, has happened. So therefore, when boys, you know, in a boys club or whatever, they relate, they text each other, they can go, you know, play on the golf course, they can go, you know, to a bar or to a drink. But as a female, you're always hyper-vigilant to say, okay, if I meet this person at a restaurant, what would it mean? Mm-hmm. So I think many times we are disadvantaged. And I've actually heard females to say, look, I've not been able to foster as many business relationships as I can because I've always had to hold myself back and be hyper-vigilant to say what is going to happen if this person becomes too familiar with me. And I think that is something that we definitely are not able to ignore, you know, particularly in the context of how we live. But anyway, as I said, nonetheless, you can still have good relationships, and it often is something that you have to be intentional about. And unfortunately, I would say that it's something that's almost not optional because the key decision makers are men, you know, in many of the cases. So a lot of the times, if you want to progress, want to access certain opportunities, you have to foster those relationships. But of course, being vigilant in terms of, you know, I guess some of the things that you might unexpectedly experience. And it's not to say, obviously,
that you're experience and come across. And I mean, at times you meet the right people, but you're unable to create or appreciate the space and the time to be able to communicate your career ambitions. How do you still manage that relationship and manage the timing? And what is your advice on the timing to make it easy to just meet and develop the relationship before you voice your career ambitions and tap into their contacts, perhaps?
Yes, very good question around timing, right? So I think the first thing people need to acknowledge is do not fear rejection or people blue ticking you, because I know that many times, you know, you reach out to someone, maybe you feel like you've created rapport, you met them at an event, at a restaurant, or whatever the case, then you reach out and it's like they never respond, right? So that is a normal part of networking, and very seldom it is anything personal. You know, they're probably very inundated. It's a very busy time in their lives, in their business, right? So I think don't fear or take it personally or make you feel discouraged, right? Because a lot of people will say, well, you know, I've DM'd like 10 people, no one is responding. It's like, okay, fine. Actually, you know, then DM 10 more or 20 more or 30 more, but don't let that stop you. I think that's one thing to acknowledge, right? Because then I think the fear of that rejection or feeling despondent because people are not responsive, we somehow take it like there's something wrong with us. So second way as well is how do you keep the relationship warm? Because I think you want to strike a balance between being in someone's face, you know, all the time, you know, whether it's in their DMs and their emails, but at the same time, you know, you want to make sure that you nurture the relationship to such an extent that when you do need something, you know, you're able to reach out without coming, you know, from the blue, so to speak. So I found a great way to do that is, you know, if you meet a contact and, you know, you share business cards, you know, in the time where you actually go to a physical conferences, I normally have a rule for myself where I contact them within 24 to 48 hours. So send them an email to say, hey, great, it was meet you. It was great meeting you at the conference, you know, loved the conversation we had on ABC. And then, you know, depending obviously on, you know, how you want to take it forward. So it also depends on the urgency, because sometimes it's just someone you want to have in your network, but you don't have an immediate need. So you can keep people warm by one, connecting with them on social media where it's appropriate. So for example, if they're on LinkedIn, you can connect with them there, you know, unless the person has invited you as such, you know, because some people, you know, their Facebook and their Twitter is more personal, so they might not want to connect there with people that's work related. So I think that you need to play that one by ear, but LinkedIn definitely is appropriate from a professional perspective and even from a business perspective to connect with people. And then what you can do is, you know, here and there, so if they post a lot, you know, maybe they share articles, maybe they have a blog, whatever the case is, to engage with them, right? Because that's kind of a safe way of not being in their face. So when they post something, you comment. And I mean, I've built relationships with people who I've got really strong, I think, connection with now, more so because they used to, you know, we used to comment and have a lot of conversations on social media, either on posts, you know, in the same forum, same professional network. So that's one way of doing it. Another way is as well is, let's say you're a job seeker or, you know, you're a business owner, is to send them updates of milestones, you know, ever so often. So maybe you were looking for a job, 3 months later, you were able to have a few interviews, you know, so you can update and say, hey, you know, since we last met, you know, I've had a couple of interviews, just thought I would update you. Or maybe, you know, if you see they've also had a milestone in their life, maybe they've got promoted, you know, they've changed jobs. So it's really to drop them an email. So I think it's really to play it by ear, where at various intersections, it could be once in 3 months, once in a couple of weeks, you can obviously gauge, you know, what's too much or what's too little. But I often find engaging on social media is just a way to keep it warm without necessarily being in their face, especially if they're someone that is active there. And I think that's almost a way to make sure that you nurture the relationship. And where it then makes sense, I think you talked about timing. If you feel like, okay, this is a person I really need to connect with, you know, and I need to take the relationship further, is where you then schedule like a coffee session, whether it's a virtual coffee or it's an in-person coffee, right? You know, so whether you do that upfront or do it after knowing them a couple of weeks or months, you know, you can determine that. But that's one way of reaching out. And if they say no, as I said, many times it's really nothing personal. It's just a matter of it's not the right time for them.
Absolutely. And can you give us some tips and some catalog some networking do's and don'ts for us? For example, striking up a conversation. When, like, what is the do's and don'ts of striking up a conversation with someone that you'd like part of your network?
Yeah, I know this is always a difficult one, right? Because especially, I guess, if you feel like, I don't know them, how do I start? Maybe you meet them at an event and you didn't expect, because it's something that's not easy, and particularly if you're an introvert or you're not so socially confident, right? And it could also be, you know, in the DMs, because it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to meet them in person. I could strike up a conversation, you know, in their DM and LinkedIn or Twitter, whatever platform. So I think a do is, you know, to keep it brief and short. I guess if you do meet them in person, right, and maybe it's at an event, you know, it could actually be saying, hey, you know, great to meet you. I follow you on social media, whatever the case. So almost have a conversation starter, right? Because then it removes the awkwardness of saying the right thing at the right time. So I normally, when I go to an event, have a couple of conversation starters, especially let's say if it's a conference or, you know, depending on the nature, you can have two or three things that, you know, can help you start a conversation with someone. And I think particularly if you have been following them, you can actually use that to say, oh, I really like what you posted on this. If it's, you know, let's say you're DMing them or emailing them or reaching out virtually, it's very important to keep it brief and almost like state your request upfront, right? I know you've probably seen a lot of people complaining to say someone just says hi, you know, then you must say hi back. And then it's like, how are you? And then it's like, no, you know, so many of those get ignored. So really keeping it brief, you know, to say, hi, you know, I'm a student, you know, really interested in the field of engineering. And I see that you're an engineer, you know, would love just to, you know, have a brief conversation. So, I mean, whatever you ask is, I think just put it up front. There's no need to, you know, make all these like long conversations, because otherwise the person might, you know, might get exhausted. So I think that will increase your chances of at least getting a response, because I think the way that you approach someone sometimes might actually determine if they're going to give you the attention or not.
And in terms of making a promise or making promises, like you're going to do something such as make an introduction for them or what are the do's and don'ts of making promises upfront?
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of your reputation, right, it's obviously important that whatever you're promising, you can honor, right? So don't, I guess, get carried away and say, no, I can introduce you to this person or I can do ABC, you know, and then on top of that, you're not able to honor it. Or maybe let's say if it's such that it, you know, you generally wanted to do it, but you can't honor it, just to let them know, to say, look, I know I promised that, you know, I'll introduce you to this person, but it's not the right time or whatever the case. So I think that's very important, particularly if you want to create trust upfront, because I guess if in the first onset you make a promise and then you don't do it, you don't respond, you know, it might actually impact how a person views you and particularly the investment in the long-term relationship.
And then nurturing a relationship in the long term, the do's and don'ts there.
Yeah, I think, you know, as I mentioned, right, keeping the relationship warm in a manner that's appropriate, because you don't also want to be in anyone's face. And, you know, as I talked earlier, right, it must be a mutually beneficial relationship. People have this sentiment sometimes that networking is to go in and ask for stuff, you know, ask this person, you know, to give me access to their relationship, to funding for my business, to whatever the case might be. It must be mutually beneficial. And you must think, what can I also do for this person? And I know, you know, when I used to work with students, they'll be like, well, but this person is an executive. What exactly can I do for them? And it doesn't even have to be anything that you feel is big or wow, right? But they must be able to see that this relationship is not one-sided, because one-sided relationships are not mutually beneficial. So I remember many years ago, you know, with the mentor that I had, and I mean, I don't think there was anything I guess I could have done for him, but what I did is that he had a book at that time. So I bought the book, I read it, you know, I sent him a review, you know, just sort of show appreciation of his work. I think he also had a website that he used to run. So I used to regularly go there, you know, comment and give him feedback. So that's really showing that actually I'm as interested in you and where you can offer help. So let's say you're a student or you've got a skill, and maybe in a conversation, the person you're networking with says, hey, I actually need this done. And maybe it's a skill that you have, or you know someone who can do it. So you say, actually, I have a sister who does websites. Let me introduce you. So you need to really, I think, make it mutually beneficial, because if you're always reaching out to people to ask for stuff and never giving it, they are actually going to see through it, and you might not even, you know, have, you know, built that relationship in the long term.
And the do's and don'ts of contacting somebody for a meeting. I know this one is one.
Yeah.
A lot of people get wrong.
Exactly. Look, so I always say to people, start with a small ask, especially if you do not know the person, right? So you have someone who will say, hey, let's meet for coffee, you know, wherever. And this person is like, you know, excuse me, I don't even know you. Now you're saying I must drive to whatever meeting place. So very often, if you want to ask, especially for their time or something of that sort, normally start with a small ask and say, hey, I just have, can I have 15 minutes or 20 minutes? Because then that's a little bit easier to allocate than for someone to say, I need 1 or 2 hours, because then you're going to get a no, right? Mm-hmm. So rather say, you know, I know you're extremely busy. Can I please have 15 minutes? I want to ask you these 3 questions, you know, because I can see you're in the industry, whatever the case might be. And it's often always easier, right? Because as I said, people will literally email you and say, introduce me to that CEO, introduce me to this person. And, you know, you kind of like make big asks up front, and it might come across as untactful or as opportunistic. So I think just be very careful what you're asking for people. And I think, you know, one thing as well that is always a safe thing to ask for, you know, is either information or advice, you know, and that's very often to say, hey, look, I see you work for this company. Can you give me any information about their hiring processes or whatever the case might be, right? So asking for information or advice is often a very safe way to start. But, you know, asking for someone for funding or money or something like, you know, from the word go might not come across or land well with the person, with the other recipient.
Absolutely. And then determining how long you plan to keep that person within your professional space, should we plan a timeline to that? Does it make sense to you?
Yeah, look, that's a good question. And I remember someone once saying to me that, you know, they never throw away anyone, so to speak, right? So maybe it's that you've moved industries, you know, you're kind of in a different space. So what do? Do you discard those networks? I mean, for me, the answer is probably no. Yes, maybe, you know, some you might nurture less aggressively because, you know, you've got a different focus now. But you never know, because, you know, someone that you met 5 years ago or 3 years ago can literally be someone that you'll need 2 years from now. So I think it's very important to not discard anyone. I mean, it's obviously not also realistic to say keep your entire network active all the time, because that's not sustainable. But I think, you know, even if it is that you're going to pull away a little bit, you know, just making sure that at least you have left room to come back, or you have not, you know, burnt the bridges, right? And I know that, you know, one of the things that, you know, you might ask is about burning bridges, you know. When do you do it? How do you do it appropriately? Look, I think for me, you know, I guess a case where you would burn bridges is maybe where you've got different values from that person. I know that's often one way. It's like, actually, I don't really think this is a person I want to be around. Maybe, you know, you don't like how they operate. Maybe it's ethical things, or maybe you just are completely different, that you don't see yourself, you know, and maybe it's not even anything that is personal, right, or big, but you're just like, you know, this is not really my type of person for whatever reason. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to, you know, start ghosting them or whatever. You know, you could really just have a crucial conversation to say, look, I know we were talking about maybe potentially doing business together, but, you know, I think, you know, I'm probably going to go another different route. And it's okay to burn bridges, you know, but to do it diplomatically, especially if it isn't such that the relationship, you know, has disintegrated. Because as you said, one day, you know, in 5 years or in 2 years, you might need, you know, to reach out to them. And I think it's just generally good practice to at least close off a relationship that you don't need anymore, you know, without sort of like someone wondering what they did wrong. Mm.
And I mean, I'm one person that if somebody's approaching me for work opportunity, or even somebody's approaching me to ask for work or to ask for an opportunity, the first thing I go to is check their social media. Social media plays a big role in terms of personal branding. How important is it to ensure that your social media is who you say you are, and also speaks to your professional profile and aligns with the brand that you're putting out there? If you're networking and you're meeting people, how important is it for your social media to reflect that? Or is it okay for people to have a different life on social media?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think anyone in this day and age meets a new person without Googling them. I think that's probably the first thing that we all do, right? Mm-hmm. And especially if you're looking for opportunities, whether it's a job, I mean, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be Googled, right? So yes, in as much as maybe your Facebook is your own personal private space, but if I go on your Facebook and I see you trash talking, or, you know, I guess just doing something that doesn't resonate with me, you know, the likelihood of me saying, actually, I don't think this is a person whose brand I want to engage in, right? So I think that's very important. And more so, if you want to brand yourself as a professional within a particular industry or as an entrepreneur, it's very important to have an online track record, right? Because people use it as an index of how seriously you take yourself. Now, I think to your point as well, if someone reaches out and they say, oh, we want to do this, or I'm working in this space, and then I go, you don't even have a website, you don't have a Facebook page, you know, you don't even have anything. So I'm like, well, actually, you might be a fly by night. How seriously do you take yourself in this space if you don't, you know, especially if you, let's say you're a business, you're a company or something of that sort, or even as a professional, right? Just having a LinkedIn profile that is clean and that is relatively active is also useful, because people want, you know, it helps to create trust. And also, as I said, it helps people to see that you actually take yourself seriously in terms of your personal brand and you're someone that they want. So it definitely helps, I think, contribute to, especially if someone is going to evaluate you and take your social media into context.
Absolutely. I mean, not everyone has an outgoing personality, but I think a lot of us still have career ambition. What's your advice to people that are shy or aren't really outgoing? And I've really found the comfort in this lockdown to still be able to network without the full-on commitment of it all.
Yeah, so I think that's a very good question, right? Networking, particularly for introverts, because I know that sometimes networking really lends itself to more extroverted personalities, people that can build relationships, they can work a room, so to speak. But as an introvert, unfortunately, networking is important, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you obviously do it without creating anxiety for yourself? So what I often do is to set myself a target, right? So if you're going to an event, you know, it doesn't mean you must speak to the whole world. You know, you can actually set yourself a target. So actually, I want to speak to these three people. I mean, what I particularly like about conferences these days is very often you get the delegate list ahead of time, right? So you know who's going to be there from what company. So if you have, you know, the advantage of that, you can actually search for a couple of people and say, actually, I need to talk to this person who works here. I need to talk to ABC. And you can even sometimes reach out to them before the event. Let's say if you know they're going to be there, say, hey, I see you're going to be at this event. We'd love to have 5 minutes of your time, because that way, you know, it kind of like takes away the anxiety of approaching them and them saying no, or them being too busy and you trying to, you know, fight for their attention with other people. And I think as well, you know, what I also have found useful is, you know, it's something you need to get comfortable with, right? So don't expect to go to an event and then, you know, once off, you're like suddenly working the room. So you start by incremental practices. So setting those targets to say, this event, I want to speak to 4 people. In fact, at the next one, I'm going to find 2 people that I don't know at all and challenge myself. And the more you build those habits, the more comfortable that you will feel, right? And often, you know, it doesn't mean that you must, you know, go speak to a large group of people. Sometimes, you know, just finding a small group of 2 to 3 people who are chatting in a corner away is something that you can do to join them, right? And of course, how you nurture the relationship, you know, often will happen outside of the event. But obviously, you want to make sure that you foster that connection at the event and then you carry it forward, you know, on a one-on-one or whatever basis thereafter.
Absolutely. And then lastly, how do we get hold of your services and where can we find you?
So if you go to www.fionamartin.com, and it's Fiona spelled with a PH, you can find all the links to my social media there. You can also contact me on info@fionamartin.online.
Thank you so much, Fiona. Truly appreciate you all the time. You're always dropping some gems for us.
You've been listening to The Sit Down with Olwethu Shabane, a podcast for women everywhere who are exploring the art of superwoman. You've been listening to The Sit Down with Olwethu Shabane, a podcast for women everywhere who are exploring the art of superwoman.